and I run. Love Run. Written by Sleepy Maddie. Read by Raven. Summary. 5 times Natasha disappeared, and 1 time she didn't. 1. The first time it happens, Clint tries not to panic. He knows Natasha. Has been her partner for almost a year. He knows she wouldn't turn her back on him now. Still, it's a little unnerving. One evening she's there, the next morning she's gone. Nothing but a "gone for a little while" scribbled on a piece of paper. No way to reach her, no way to find her. He gets it. He does. Sometimes in their line of work, it's best to go off-grid for a bit. He trusts she'll come back. But that doesn't make it any easier. 2. Do you have to go? Natasha freezes, sitting on the edge of the bed, her back to him. She's already dressed. He can tell, even in the faint light of dawn filtering through the window. Her shoulders are tense and internally he kicks himself. He should have kept pretending to be asleep. You know how it is, she says eventually, not looking at him. Sometimes. He swallows, keeps his breathing even, resists the urge to reach for her hand, clutching the sheet instead. Yeah, he says, because he does know. I get it. She nods. A moment later, she's gone. 3. Romanoff not joining you? Fury asks as Clint walks into his office. He shakes his head. She's off-grid. Has been, in fact, for almost a week. Fury frowns, picking up a pen and twirling it around his fingers. You know, we can't track her when she does that. We've tried. He gives Clint a look. You get any better luck? I don't know, Clint says, and takes a seat. I haven't tried. It's true. Maybe he could find her, if he did. But she wouldn't want him to, and that's what matters. Fury says, unreadable. Your partner, your problem. 4. I'll miss you, Clint mumbles into his couch cushion, half asleep still. He feels more than hears her step closer. The next moment, there's a hand carding softly through his hair. He sighs. They'd fallen asleep on his couch after their last assignment, and he's not surprised that she's ready to leave. It had been a tricky one. Still, he'll miss her. He always does. The hand leaves his hair, and he listens for the door, clinging to wakefulness by the thinnest of threads. Instead, he hears, "Me too." It's low enough that he might have dreamt it. Maybe he did. 5. It's not that he doesn't think she can't take care of herself. He knows, better than anyone, that she can. But sometimes, when she goes, he can't help but think that, maybe, it'd be better if she stayed, that the wounds she prefers to address alone might fare better with help. He knows better than to say it. Instead, he tries to show it, helps her when she stays, best as he can. And slowly, the frequency goes down, until it's rare, until he knows that when she goes, it's because she wants to, rather than needs to. It helps. +1. You've never asked, she says one evening as they sit on his couch to eat takeout. He steals one of her samosas, narrowly avoiding getting his hand speared by her fork. Asked what? Where I go. She's not looking at him. He pauses. I don't need to, he says eventually. She glances at him. No? He shakes his head. I know you'll come back. That's what matters. She says nothing for a while. When he looks at her, it's to find her looking back, a faint smile at the corner of her lips. Yeah, she breathes. I suppose it is. The end. Thank you for listening.